Mariana, hello. Thanks for being with us. You're representing a charity organization from the Netherlands. Who do you support and what is the name of your organization?
Well, the name of the organization is Tesla Winterit. Our aim is to make children happy, and we do that using Teslas and cooperating with other organizations to provide children who feel, well, who have wishes because they've either been very ill or are still ill, to give them a really great experience for a day so they can forget about all the troubles they're going through. Yeah, that's how this organization started.
Does this mean you pick these children up from home and then you put them into a Tesla Model X Plaid, for instance, and you accelerate them within from 0 to 100 kilometers per hour in 2.6 seconds? Is this what you do with the children?
If we have the opportunity, we do, yes. I'm not sure if we actually have a Model X Plaid to our availability at this moment, but I'm sure we will when we ask for one, because we have a group of people who are volunteers, and we can ask them to join. But if we have special requests, we have access to a lot of different groups of people with Teslas, and they might want to join for certain circumstances.
I mean, I saw in Amsterdam that the Tesla Europe headquarters is just a few hundred meters away from your house, right? Yeah, then for sure you need to have a Tesla. But what does Tesla Vansrit actually mean? And how did you come up with that name?
I've actually Googled the name into Google Translate. In German, it's called Wunschfahrt, or wish ride in English.
Oh, nice.
So it's making wishes come true with Teslas. Yeah.
Like Wunsch Auto or something like
Yes.
that. Well, when we met last time in Amsterdam, from our conversation there, I know that last year Tesla Vansrit carried out aid transports for Ukraine. So how many cars? I mean, that was for sure Tesla cars, right? So how many Teslas did you drive in a convoy there?
Yeah, we actually did 16 of those wish rides of human aid transports. But depending on the amount of people who wanted to come back from Poland, the Ukrainian refugees, we would accordingly take the amount of cars that were needed to fit families and children. So it could be 13 cars, it could be 4 cars, could be 17 cars. All depending on the amount of people that we would take back to refugees in the Netherlands or guest families.
And all these cars were Tesla vehicles? That was all Tesla cars?
Mostly, one of the cars actually was like a van to transport people who were using wheelchairs to make it more comfortable for them to travel, because that doesn't really fit really well in a Tesla.
Yeah, no, it does not. Yeah.
We once had someone who had an accident with a deer on the German Autobahn, and his replacement car was not a Tesla, unfortunately. So he drove an Opel Astra. But
Okay, but I drive a Tesla myself, as you know. But well, and I know of course how long charging can take, especially in Poland. So you said you were driving now with maximum 16 Teslas in a convoy. So how long did it take you to recharge all the batteries, and how often did you stop along all the way? That must be a lot of stops and a lot of waiting.
Well, we've got different types of Teslas and different ranges for different Teslas. So we usually grouped the people who were going fast together. Like the Model 3's long range would go first. So by the time the older Model S's would arrive, they would be ready, and or the other way around, that we would go first, so we could catch up later. Depending on where you came from the Netherlands, because we don't leave from a central spot, we just all left from our own houses. But usually, I think I counted it 1, 2, 3, 4 on the way in. I usually did 4 stops, of which one was very long, near Blankenfelden, near Berlin, because that was the last supercharger before entering Poznan in Poland, and that needed to be a very long charge because I wanted the car to be full. Otherwise, we wouldn't make it. At least I wouldn't make it. And we would, there would be more people. So we usually use that as a lunch stop. So we.
So you were not all coming together to one single charger with 16 cars and waiting there like 8, 9, or 10 hours.
No. No. Yeah. And I mean, the first stop where we usually meet all together is near Hanover, Leer. There's quite a lot of chargers there, so we could be there with a larger group and then go from there forward. So it's not so bad. Only like if there's only a few chargers or there are no chargers, like in the beginning when the first few drives went all the way into Poland, even further where it was more difficult or they had slow chargers, then it was sometimes a problem for everyone to be ready on time. But in the end, it always worked out. Yeah,
that's a great challenge. I mean, even with a combustion car, it's a good story to just drive that far and help other people, right? But you know, for you, it was most likely even harder because you like almost sacrificed your time to stop for these charges. Why are you guys doing something like that?
Well, you know,
what's your motivation?
The motivation. Well, most of us really wanted to do something. And this was something we could do to help Ukrainian people. We can't go to war ourselves. We're not military people. And we could donate money. But we, most of us, were like, well, if this happened to us, we really would want someone to help us as well. Drive us to safety or give us goods so we could eat or give us clothes so that we could wear something when we had to flee our houses. So everyone, wanted to actually do something instead of donating money and just waiting for others to help people. We all felt the need to do something. Yeah.
And so how was it then to go back all the way back with totally foreign people in a car? I mean, in every Tesla, you had like 3 or 4 people, right?
Yes.
So how was it? They were completely foreigners to you.
Yes. Well, I can tell you that usually at first day, at least in my car, and I've heard in other cars too, they fell asleep. They're so tired and from all the everything that happened, so they fall asleep. But then you start to communicate either with the English or translation apps, and you hear stories, you ask some questions. Sometimes you just play the radio, you play a game in your car during a rest stop for the children so they can. And you get to know these people and you form a little bit of a bond and you're shocked by what they show you about, you know, they show you videos of bombing near their houses or other things that happened. And they tell about the people that they've left behind. And so it's sometimes even quite emotional and you just wish the best for those people. So you go from strangers to, knowing them really quickly.
Are you still in contact with some of these people?
With some of them, we're still in contact, exactly, yes.
Yeah, they're still there in the Netherlands because unfortunately the war in Ukraine is not over yet. So do you have further trips planned? And when will that happen? I mean, when will you do additional trips maybe? Is there something planned for this year?
There's no further trips planned to Poland. So many things have changed, rules and regulations and there's not that much free room available at shelters anymore. It's quite difficult to find places for them to stay. And there are other opportunities for them to come over if they need to, which are easier and not as time consuming, like taking there are still free air tickets, I think, available and cheaper buses. So it's not as urgent at this moment, but I don't know what will happen, and we'll let you know if we're going to go again. Yes.
Yeah, I was about to ask if I can come with you with my Tesla. Okay, cool. But now on your website and on your Facebook page, I saw that you are doing something with books now.
We cooperate.
Ukrainian books.
Yeah, we cooperate with a project called Bookrain, and that's a project that has, it's not our project, it's a project that we, that when we go to do rides with Ukrainian people or when we visit refugee centers with Ukrainian people, we can bring those books along, yeah, to keep the Ukrainian children and their parents connected to their own language for when they can go back, hopefully. And yeah, it's, the kids really love the books, so we hope we can keep them. Yeah,
you gave me some of the books when we met in Amsterdam, and I've just forwarded them to some families, and they were really happy to have these books. And I got some nice sweets, right, for this, like this, for instance, some nice Ukrainian sweets. Okay, well, finally, if our listeners want to give some money or want to know more about Tesla Rensvid. Tesla Rensvid.
Yes.
I'm not speaking any Dutch. Where can they look?
Well, we do have a website on www.teslavensrit.nl, and maybe you can put it in your show notes somewhere, so they can click on it. And there's a sign that says donate or doneren, and through that there are opportunities to donate, and we would really appreciate any donations. We're grateful for everything.
Cool. Thank you very much, Marianne. Thank you very much for the interview.
You're welcome.
Do I say thank you and goodbye in Dutch language?
Dankjewel and tot ziens.
Okay, I practice this a little bit more when we meet next time. I try to speak a little bit more Dutch. Okay, thank you very much, Marianne. And have a good time there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.